to the club because you're that kind of nerd.
Hello and welcome to the club. This is That Kind of Nerd, a show where we talk about the nerdy things we're passionate about and judge each other in general and on what we've discussed. I'm your host this week, Josh Burns, and I'm joined by Brian Thornton and CJ Mellon.
Hello, I am here.
CJ trying to out-silence me.
Right.
You fool.
I said hello right away.
Where's the silence? Will sit here. I will. You're usually like right on the mark before Josh finishes that sentence, but you gave it a beat and a half.
I gave it
and
a beat.
I will sit here silently for an hour. I do not fucking care.
I would like the record to reflect that Josh said we judge each other generally and what we bring to the discussion, and proof positive that that is indeed the case.
Yeah, proof positive. Yeah, so that's, you know, hopefully everybody has, since it's a new year, something to discuss. I will be recording points that are completely arbitrary, and we'll be awarding them or subtracting them at my whim. And the winner at the end of the show will be the person with the most points, and will also be the host next week, which is why, listeners, you have me and not CJ or Brian, because unfortunately I won the last show that we recorded.
Unfortunately.
I was the one who made that decision.
Yeah, and you had a great knowledge of Nicolas Cage movies. This is your own fault. You did a good
and
job.
And very strong opinions, if I recall.
I'm not saying it's not like I didn't deserve it. It's just the three of us, I am the worst possible host. I don't feel like I ever keep anything organized. So, look, it has been a few weeks since we last sat down. I've got a couple things that have pissed me off and one thing that I thought was pretty cool.
I have sent Josh many lists going, look at this bullshit.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Like
you
bait.
You're just like, let's see how I can crank Josh up today. But I'll turn it over to you guys. If you have something that you're burning to discuss, let's get into that.
CJ, I'm actually burning to discuss what Josh has hated so far. So I'm way more excited.
I would
about
like to do one thing quick as an amuse-bouche to the rest of this episode, and then we will we'll turn over to what's angered Josh and what's grinding his gears. I would like to take
CJ's
everybody
being
back.
Amuse douche.
I'd like to take everybody back to January of 2014. Place yourself in that mindset. The MCU hasn't burnt anybody out yet, right? Life is going pretty good for most of us here.
Give me that. Don't. You take that fucking line back. Don't give me this, superhero burnout bullshit. Fuck you. What are you, Rolling Stone all of a sudden?
I'm getting Brian cooked. This is nice. All right, so.
No, that's a stupid fucking thing to say.
A big investor, none other than the man himself, Ryan Seacrest, has invested and debuted the Typo keyboard, which is an iPhone case that aims to bring back the BlackBerry keyboard to iOS, right? And to bring back the keyboard to the phone, which of course immediately gets shut down by BlackBerry, by RIM, right? Just saying, no, you can't do this. This is not happening. We're killing, because you literally stole our keyboard layout. Ladies and gentlemen, in the year of our Lord 2024, 10 years later, a YouTuber by the name of Mr. Mobile, who, if you don't know, fantastic YouTuber, and Crackberry Kevin basically are trying to bring this back with the new keyboard called Clix, which attaches via USB-C or Lightning to the iPhone 14 and the iPhone 15. Bringing this back. We used to have a previous segment where we used to give things either the third degree or the nerd degree, or ask you to for your tech perspective. This is a harken back to this. I've sent the Verge article to you guys. I am very curious, why on God's green earth does anybody think that this should exist? And can we please just spend the next couple minutes just ripping this thing apart, unless someone believes that a clickety clackety keyboard is a viable option in 2024.
I mean, it's not a viable option. It's not even available yet for the iPhone 15 Pro Max, which is what I have. But
correct.
If it were, it would make the device completely unwieldy, Like, you, there's just no way. Now, look, there's one thing.
You know what I need? An extra 3 inches on the bottom of my phone.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously. Right. Obviously, it's a ridiculous form factor. But the one thing I will say for this, we'll call it a case, is it's really, really well designed. It's designed, and maybe it's an unpopular opinion, but Apple made a battery case at one point, and this has essentially the same design. By the way, that battery case was, I get people didn't like it because it had a bump, but it was a really, really well functioning and it felt good in your hand type battery case. And, you know, in like stark opposition to the Mophie cases, which had great battery life, but were just clunky as shit.
Yeah. It felt like you were putting a grenade in your pocket. Yeah,
that's right. The Apple battery case was great. And this is designed the exact same way. Now, as Brian said, we're adding, you know, several inches to the bottom of your phone. And it's just not, it doesn't make any sense at all. Like, why do I need the tactility of a keyboard now?
Yeah, great question. For nostalgia's purpose,
especially
one of the reasons that he gave was nostalgia. And just like, hey, come on. Like, you remember doing this, right? Like, I hope you realize that most people who have iPhones, most people did not have clickety keyboards on their phones. There was like 10 people and they all worked either in Wall Street or like reviewed tech. That was it. It was the CrackBerry crowd. And that was
government.
It. Probably the government too. Yeah. Government. Well, everyone in the government had one. Yeah, Obama brought one into the White House.
Government education, right? That was all BlackBerry.
Right, but, which have all been perfectly fine without the keyboard over the last 10 years.
It's longer than that. I mean, honestly, you know, 2011 keyboards were really not a thing. Like when you look at the phones that came out, because once HTC came out with the Incredible and Samsung released the Galaxy series of phones, like that was it. Like there was only one model, like per manufacturer, that still had a keyboard, and it was the least selling of all the models of any phone. Right, I want the HTC Touch. No, you don't. No, you don't.
No. Or the Droid 2, I think, was the last one from Motorola. That's the one I remember that
right,
had like
right.
the big
which,
ass
which was
keyboard.
Basically designed, right, was designed the same way, except the screen was like 3.7 inches or whatever.
Yeah,
like, it was just, listen, we haven't had this kind of a keyboard on a phone. It has been about 14 years. And so there is an entire generation of people who just never experienced this. And so maybe some of them want to jump on but $140, good Lord.
Yeah. $140 for the iPhone 14 Pro version, right? And if you go to the 15 Pro Max, right, you go up the step, $159. And this doesn't have extra battery or any extra additional functionality to it. It's just the keyboard. And then they're like, but they're
shortcuts. That's actually shocking.
Like no battery inside of it too? Okay, it's not a battery and a keyboard case together?
Well, or at least that it was self-powering. It's not.
Yeah, it steals from your phone.
It steals from your phone.
Right.
So, you know, I was expecting at least something, like at least a little, at least a little boost, right? Because you got to think that other than the very, very limited circuit board for that keyboard, what else is that case doing? Like, just put a battery in there.
Yeah, and there's they put weight into the keyboard part. I'm thinking, like, I want you to imagine this, listener, right?
For balance.
Take your phone.
For balance.
Right? I get that. Take your phone, and then, just like Brian said, add about 3 to 4 inches to the bottom of it, and that's where your keyboard is. But it connects directly via the USB or Lightning case.
It's about 2 inches.
Okay, but my problem is, that's a flex point right there on your phone. You could snap that connect, because there's nothing on the back of the case really to keep that rigid.
It's not the way, again, the case design is really nice. And because of the case design, it's not going to be a flex point.
You think it's going to stand up? I see it's got the rubber. It's got a hard frame to it.
Watch the little video of the guy. Yeah. I mean, it's not going to flex there. That's
okay.
No.
All right.
No, that is not a concern. The concern would be anyone who thinks this would be useful. That would be a concern.
Oh, it's got backlight too.
I would be concerned about that person.
It's got backlight. What do you wireless mean? Charging.
A backlit keyboard?
It's got a backlit keyboard.
CJ, stop.
It has a backlit keyboard.
Features. It has a backlit useless thing.
Yep.
I need all my useless things backlit.
Correct. Well, to be fair, if I get a keyboard, it has to be backlit. But this is dumb. And then pass-through charging for... It has pass-through charging.
Well, of course. Well, why wouldn't it have pass-through charging? It would have to have pass-through charging.
I don't know.
How else would you charge your phone?
A wireless charging. Like 99.9% of all my charging nowadays.
Great. But it completely nullifies your MagSafe. So...
No, it's MagSafe compatible.
No, yes, but it... Trust me.
Oh, but not. I gotcha.
There are maybe two or three cases on the market that have as strong or stronger a magnet as what is already in the iPhone Bear.
Yes, correct.
Right? And so, I did this research because I don't like. I'm not gonna put a case on unless it is at least as strong as the magnet that's already there.
Listener, I cannot tell you the amount of time that Josh and I talked about getting the most amount of charge you possibly can to and through his iPhone, right? Oh, not only just through USB-C cables, but yeah, just really maximizing the charging capability that the iPhone 15
can give. I'm still super pissed off about the limitation, but you know, whatever. It'll be fixed eventually and then I'll be happy and fine. But like, look, I think probably enough talk about iPhone cases. There's a ton out there. I bought a case that I only describe as like a C-thong. If you don't know what a C-thong is, you should look that up. But it's basically, there's no like strappies. It's just frontsies, backsies. Okay, that's what a C-thong is.
If
it just covers frontsies, backsies.
Into my search engine, am I going to be in trouble?
It should. There's no hip straps. Right. It just wraps around the frontsies and backsies.
Oh God! Okay? I pressed image result. I regret everything.
There you go. There's a case that I bought that is it's not actually a case. It's a piece that goes on the top of the phone, a piece that goes on the bottom of the phone. It's a bumper. I love it. It's super minimal and it's great, right? I don't need a case to do all of the things. Sometimes I want a kickstand, so I have a case with a very strong magnet and a kickstand. The very strong magnet is because I rigged up a mount in my car that I bought. Somebody fabricated like a retrofit collar for the large MagSafe.
Yeah.
Right. And then I put that on a ball mount, which was custom made for my BMW. You remove the whole front panel and the radio, and then it's two bolts, but it completely conceals the mount itself. So no vent or like stick onto something. It's bolted on. It has like the ball that you would see on most of those.
Right.
Sort of 360 mounts. And then it's a 3D printed retrofit collar that I hollowed out a little bit and mounted the MagSafe, and my phone just sits. And
you have wireless CarPlay?
And I love it.
Do you have CarPlay?
Okay. I've had since 2017.
I thought for a minute you were putting your directions up to your phone, but this is just to hold to charge it and to get the maximum efficiency.
I just don't want the phone sitting somewhere. I want it up on the
Fun fact: the Clicks will not allow you to use CarPlay with the case on, even with USB-C.
All right, I'm done with this case.
Stupid as
I'm fully
all.
Again, done with this case.
Nobody cared back in 2014 when Ryan Seacrest was trying to do the BlackBerry, and that was the closest to people were like, I'm actually kind of interested in having that back on my phone. I've missed that because it's only been a few years, right, that iPhone had that mass adoption. I really don't get what possessed somebody to make it 10 years after they saw a actual BlackBerry keyboard fail to do this. It's stupid, it's dumb, and you know me, I love little gadgets. I love me a gadget.
So CJ, when are you pre-ordering it?
Listen, if we still had a Patreon and we had that money, I would get one just for just for the shits and giggles, right? Return it after a bit of time.
It's stupid, it's dumb, I would take get my money.
Yeah, it's stupid and dumb, take my money. It belongs on a t-shirt that I probably paid stupid and dumb money for at that point. So anyway, that's the click. Right, so we had to tear it apart. I figured Josh and I would have the biggest laugh about it. So Brian, thank you for being here while we talk about Droid 2s.
Listen,
and,
I have no real opinions about a case that is unwieldy as a feature that I don't need and doesn't have any actual function to it. Like, who doesn't know how to type on a touchscreen in the year of our Lord 2024? Like,
your keyboard's really not getting in the way of anything either.
Right. I could still understand, like, gaming. If you were one of those weirdos who wanted a game on your mobile device, I can get that. I need the tactile for that. We've been typing on touchscreens for well over a decade. I don't need it.
Yeah. Now, tell me you're going to give me a case that makes it so that my phone is exclusively T9 texting. I'll get behind that.
You know what? I looked for a T9 iOS keyboard
just for giggles.
Yes, I did. Just for giggles because I was trying to explain to my daughter texting and T9, and she was like, I don't understand this. And I'm looking around in my collection of tech gadgetry. I have nothing to represent T9.
Have you guys on TikTok, there is a comedian who does a podcast called Daughter Issues with his daughter.
Yes.
So great.
You saw the latest one with the DVRs, with the on-demand?
Yes.
Yes.
I saw the on-demand too. One. It is great. I gotta look up the name of the comedian because, I mean, he works very hard and he's more than just this podcast. But it is, for those of you who don't know, it is a father and a daughter, and the daughter, she's got to be 18. Like, at least that's what she, you know, around the age that she looks and
16,
her
17, 18,
and stuff.
Yeah.
And it is a millennial father talking to his daughter about, hey, here's some of the stuff that was going on in my, and like, I've seen the one where he hands her a phone book and says, find me the phone number for this. And right. She's like,
yep.
How? You know, they've done encyclopedias, they've done record players, and I the last one I saw was actually for Yahoo and AIM instant messenger sounds, like him trying to explain to her, like, hey, you would hear a door creak, and that meant your friend was online, right? And she was like, but you couldn't just message them? And he's like, no, you had to wait until they're online.
Not unless they were
online. Or you could call them. You could try to call them. But that also required you probably getting off the internet because it was all under the same line. And like watching her brain kind of break. They're funny. And she's a really good sport. And it's never mean, which is what I really
like. Yeah, it's not like the lady was like, people don't know how to write checks today. It's like, yeah, who gives a shit? Who writes a check? Yeah.
Right.
Find the
when
name.
When I was writing checks, I didn't want to be writing checks. Her name is Talissa Smalley. What is his name?
David Miscali. Is it David? David C. Smalley.
Let's find out. Yeah, David C. Smalley. There we go.
That's the TikTok handle too.
But yeah, I love it. And what did you say that triggered this for me? You were talking about your stupid phone case that you're probably going to get.
T9. No, it's a T9 keyboard.
T9,
on iOS.
Yeah. They did an episode on T9. He hands her like an old Nokia phone and says, I need you to type out this message. And she's just like, what? How? It's great. I have seen a couple ones where she's doing the opposite of like, hey, here's this thing in Snapchat. Can you tell me what this means? So, like I said, it's done very well. It goes both ways because he's also
hit each other back and forth.
Know what this is. But it's wonderful. And I highly suggest any of you check it out. Check it out on TikTok. Check out the highlights and then maybe even listen if you'd like.
It came up because T9. I could do with my eyes closed.
You love how
closed.
I promote another person's podcast?
Another person's podcast on this podcast. No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
The beautiful thing about T9 is once you got proficient at it, upside down, blindfolded, and with a concussion, I could text anybody anything.
You could type,
right? I could type out whatever I needed to once you just had that central button. And now with the touchscreen, right? And you pretty much have your buttons memorized in position, But if you're off just one bit and then you're on that autocorrect train, but the beauty of T9 was I could not be looking at my phone and sending a perfect text.
We were watching The Departed, and Christian's like, his phone's in his pocket. How do you send that text? And I'm like, it's called T9. You just.
You just know the numbers, you just know the pattern.
The five
has the nubbies.
Just bloop, 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 bloop.
Yep. Just take it. Yeah. That's your home button, right? Because I'll be honest too, when it comes to your keyboard, right? The F key and the J key also have those rises, so that way you can place your fingers there and do piper top. I can't fucking do that. But if you give me a T9 computer, I could have written a term paper. I could have figured it out that way without looking down. I could have written the entire thing. Would have been some spelling mistakes, absolutely. But like, I would have gotten through with it better than if I tried to do the blind typing with the F and the J key. I can't do that. I have to chicken peck my keyboard.
Are you a hunt and pecker?
I am a hunt and pecker. Yeah.
Gosh, you're so gross.
I know. It's disgusting.
And you're left-handed. You got to fix one of those things.
Yeah. Left-handed diabetic
home keys.
Hunt and pecker.
For the love of God.
I can't, dude. Like, and you, Josh, you and I know. I had a nun teach me how to do this, right? I had a nun teach me how to do this typing.
You are younger than me.
Yes.
I find it hard to believe you didn't have a typing class in high school. I had one.
I did. It was taught by a nun.
Right. Same
in
nun.
In high school, I did not have a typing
me.
Class. It wasn't in high school. It was in middle school. We had that too.
Oh,
right?
No,
we also were
Catholic. I had one. I had a typing class in high school.
No. In high school, we were still faster than all of our teachers because it was a computer and they were still used to just, you know.
Right. Well, I mean, typing class for me, I don't know what it was like for you, Josh, but typing class for me in high school was, hey, we have this program that just goes through all these exercises, and the teacher was just there to make sure you weren't trying to play Oregon Trail, which she caught me doing once.
All
like, that's it. You just went through the program and they're like, you typed 144 words per minute. And you were like, great. Achievement
my
unlocked.
Man, now my man, this was 1995. We had typewriters. A Catholic school in 1995 had typewriters.
You're a bit older than me. I remember the computer lab being installed at my high school because it was like, well, guess this is going to be a thing now. And they added it in so that you could, you know, learn to type on a computer type of thing.
Yeah, that was done, I think, in 96, or 97, maybe, they installed a computer lab, but it was a single one.
Upstairs.
Upstairs, yeah.
It was in a janky part of the place.
Now that I think about it, it was middle school for me, but it was one of those, like, they pretty much brought in one of those, like, modular homes and just built a ramp off the school. And that was it. Like, and I also had my Spanish class in one of those as well. But like, our school got so big, they were like, start breaking in.
Well, we didn't have that. We went to a Catholic school. We didn't have that problem.
Yeah, we didn't have that problem.
We didn't have growth.
It was please at that point. Please come to the school.
My bad.
Right. We'll give you a scholarship, kids across the street.
But here's how I learned how to type. There was a game called Typing of the Dead.
Ooh. Oh, yes. I've heard of this. I think
so. Like House of the Dead, the popular arcade game where you shoot zombies.
Yep.
Typing of the Dead, right? There's zombies coming at you and you have to type out phrases.
There's a new version of it on Steam.
I was saying it's on Steam.
I don't know.
You can download
Steam.
It.
But Typing of the Dead either you learned how to type or you just accepted that your blood pressure was going to be sky high always.
Yep. CJ, have you seen this?
I'm on Steam looking at it right now.
Okay.
Oh my God. Some of these words are crazy.
Yeah. Like you have to type out the words and phrases to like take out the zombies.
To take out the zombies.
Punctuation has to be right.
Yep.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't play this now.
Right, so that's how I learned how to type, and I easily type 62, 63 words per minute.
Josh,
let
me ask you a question.
Little to no error.
There's a whole bunch of these. Yeah, all right, would $25 for different versions of them, including Shakespeare and Silver Screen, would that be worth it for the nostalgia? $25 on Steam, Windows only though.
Yeah, it's Windows only.
Well, okay, though, that's
you're a Mac family.
Yeah, a Parallels maybe. I think you get away with it with Parallels, but $25.
Yeah,
it's not worth all that effort. I've run Parallels on my MacBook before. It's a pain in the ass.
Yeah, it's the only terrible way to do it. There's gotta be no boot camp anymore.
There's gotta be a Flash version, right? There's gotta be. Yeah.
Well, Flash is dead, ain't it? Look, anyway,
you know, whatever.
Steve Jobs solved for that. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I get you.
But yeah, so if anybody comes across that, it's pretty fun way to learn how to type.
Flash can never truly die, can it?
I mean, he could become part of
there's so many things out there still that require.
The fact that Josh laughed is all I needed. I'm done at that point. I wanted that one.
Yeah.
All right.
I found a Flash.
You got everything you could for me.
I found a Flash decoy. It's not the same game, though.
All right, send me a link. I've got one thing that super pissed me off this week.
Please be the thing that I sent you.
It's not. I've got the list.
We could talk about the thing that you sent.
And they also pissed me off. There are many things that grind my gears, obviously, but Rolling Stone.
Oh wow, this is a good start.
Second reference for Rolling Stone today.
It is not the science fiction movies
80s song,
because it is the 80s song. Now yeah! I want to talk about this.
Hold on. The exact text that I sent to Josh when I sent him this was "fuck everyone involved with this and fuck their mothers too." Carry on.
So
I gotta find that now. Hang on.
Rolling Stone readers,
yes,
voted on the worst songs of the 80s. Now, there's a couple caveats here. This has become I've come across this on TikTok or Instagram Reels or whatever no fewer than 10 times this week. So clearly, this is something people are talking about. What they're not talking about is that this voting was done in the 90s.
What?
This was yes, this isn't new.
This is ridiculous.
Rolling Stone stupid. And okay, and then let me set this up for you. Here's how I envision this worked. Here are 20 songs from the 80s. Choose the worst 10. That's how I feel Rolling Stone conducted this survey. Cuz it wasn't like, tell us what your least favorite song. You know damn well There was no crowdsourcing here.
Right.
They just put up songs that were crazy popular in the 80s that now 90s people don't want to hear because we've moved on from this kind of music. But I got to tell you, some of these songs were A, total bangers, and B, have really like either have had a resurgence or in some way never really went away. So I want to go through these super sounds of the 70s here. These I want to go through these 10 songs that have been called the worst songs of the 80s, voted by Rolling Stone readers sometime in the 90s. Now I don't have that information as to when, but I do know that the vote was done in the 90s, and I know that because it's been said on multiple. Like, hey, I just want to say this was done in the 90s. Okay, so we're going to start off hot. And they said that the 10th worst song of the 80s was Never Gonna Give You Up by Rick Astley, which we all know is completely iconic, totally catchy.
It made a huge resurgence in the early aughts because of Rick Rolling.
Rick Roll, right. And again, 2 years ago because of Ted Lasso.
Right.
So, like, it doesn't matter what was said then, right? It's obviously some of these have really withstood the test of time. Putting on the Ritz by Taco at number 9. I don't care. Putting on the Ritz.
I don't like that song.
It's not my favorite song, but I'm not going to say it's worse than, you know, many other songs. Give me there's more annoying shit than Putting on the Ritz.
I'm okay.
Number 8, How Dare You? How Dare You? Mickey by Tony Basil. Who doesn't love Mickey?
Googling Mickey by Tony Basil.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine. You're so fine. You blow my mind. I don't like that song. I'm so, so sorry. That song, I'm open. I do not look back fondly at that song. I
think of Bring It On when I hear that song. That's it.
I think of Pitch Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I think of the end credits of Bring It On.
Like that was one. I was like, but, I see how it got there. I don't think that's correct in the sense of all of the '80s, but
right, all of the '80s.
If I was given a list of songs, okay, that would be on my bottom list.
Fine. Bobby McFerrin, Don't Worry, Be Happy. How do you put that on the list?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, no, that's
okay. Rock Me Amadeus by Falco at 6. Falco
that song
being
is
one
so
of the
fun.
German, that's not the most fun song, but it is at number 6. More fun than that is Men Without Hats, The Safety Dance. Who to this day, I cannot hear the song. I cannot think of the song without thinking about my buddy Andy, who would always sing the song all the time. And this was in the 2000s. He's still singing.
And just between the three of us, right, as we used to do in our retail times, we would talk to each other via song quotes or movie quotes.
That's right.
Exclusively. And then we would throw this out at each other and be like, you can dance if you want to. You can leave your friends behind.
Yeah.
Because if your friends
but people be like,
they don't dance. And then we just go into it.
Why does CJ do it like that? Look, he can dance if he wants to.
Right. Yep.
Right. Right. Just okay. Next up, Wham. Wham! Wake Me Up Before You Go.
A great song.
Great song. Don't you dare, CJ. Don't.
No, I love that
song. Great song.
Number three, the top three of songs voted worst in the 80s. Number three is Lady in Red by Chris de Burgh, which...
Where the fuck does this even... Like, the audacity.
The audacity. The audacity. How dare you. Number two, The Final Countdown by Europe.
One of the most amazing songs ever.
It looks, like it or not, it is completely iconic. There is no, when you hear the synth, you know exactly what's about to happen.
I think I've done this on the show before.
Many times.
I've done The Final Countdown.
I would put it on the. I would put it on the
CJ
head list. I would not put it on the
top
three.
I'm saying none of these songs actually belong on this list.
I'm going to find a better list. Song.
I think Mickey belongs in there. I'll die on that one.
It does no of worst songs of the 1980s. Absolutely not. And then number one, they went with Starship. We Built This City, which
fucking
isn't
rocks.
Even the worst Starship song of the 80s.
So this was Rolling Stone's article that was generated from people in the 90s, but then posted in 2011, is what you're telling me?
I've been told that this vote happened in the 90s.
Okay. The Rolling Stone posted it in 2011. So they posted it 2 decades later.
Whatever.
And then what, another 2 decades later, someone put it up on TikTok?
This is not old. This is not old news.
Okay.
This is shit that's been posted on TikTok over the past 2 weeks.
No, all right. Brian Ranker. Did find the right thing. Readers polled the 10 worst songs in the 1980s. It was done in 2011.
Don't worry. I got a better list, though.
Oh, God.
Ranker, which is also user-generated, right? The number one worst 80s song. Worst freaking song of the 80s ranked. The Super Bowl Shuffle.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah, that's probably the worst song of the 80s.
That is probably the worst song of the 80s, yeah.
Also has songs like Respect Yourself, The
Respect
War Song.
Yourself. That sounds good.
Boom, 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 Let's Go Back to My Room is number 6.
Is
good,
Party All the Time
No,
on
It's
there?
True is on here at number 8. Number 10, Girl, I'm Gonna Miss. Like, here's the thing. A lot of these I haven't heard of, and that's probably because they're the worst. Geronimo's Cadillac. I'm trying to... Okay, We Built This City is 20 on this list. And again, Ranker being something that is also kind of user-generated.
Not kind of. It's user-generated.
Much more. I didn't say kind of, did I?
I would agree My with bad. The sense of a song has to hit a threshold for it to even be relevant in the sense of the conversation. Otherwise, it would be some garage band who released an EP in the 80s who no one fucking knows.
That's fine. But like, I think about like songs that just dig themselves into your head and you can't get them out, those are probably the worst ones. Mm. And on that note, I'll throw A Little Respect by Erasure. No, nobody's gonna pick up the reference at all.
Sorry.
Really?
Over both of our heads? Hold on, look at behind me. It is over there, Josh. I did not pick it up at all. So sorry. I was also thinking of like what other songs came out in the 80s.
I tried to discover a little something to make me sweeter.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Good old Scrubs. We're all gonna be stuck, and now it's stuck in
it's
our heads.
It's a terrible song.
It's in there.
Stunning,
terrible
in
song.
Great,
1985.
Rock the
1985.
Rock the Casbah.
Oh, I like that one. No one knows the words.
Rock the Casbah. Is a terrible song.
What song? I'm sorry, I was listening
rock,
to a
Rock the Casbah. Terrible.
Oh, I like Rock the Casbah.
Terrible.
Isn't that sampled in
Eddie Murphy's
song,
Party All the Time, 1985? No. How is that not
amazing
on the list?
Song?
Oh God, that's
my girl
terrible.
Wants to party all the time. So good,
so
good,
so bad. Written, performed by, and produced by Rick James. Great. Eddie Murphy, not the delivery system for that.
Rock,
because there was debates, because people used to get in before we had the internet and could look up everything that we ever wanted to all the time, as we talked about earlier. People used to debate the lyrics. Rock the Cash Box, Walk the Catwalk. No one knew the fucking words of that song. Just like In the Garleida, right? In the Garleida. It's because he was just so fucking hungover, drunk, and high.
Nah, you know what it is for me? If we're going to go down this rabbit hole, there was a song in the movie Center Stage by Jamiroquai. The song is called... you'll know it when you hear it, because it's been in a bunch of stuff. I remember it from the movie Center Stage. The song is called Canned Heat. And it got canned heat in my heels tonight. Right? I literally up until 5 years ago thought he was saying candy in my heels tonight. And so much so that like it came on in a restaurant that my now wife and I were eating in on our third date. And I said, did you know he's not like that? I always thought he was saying that. She's like, he's not saying that? And I'm like, no, he's saying canned heat. And she's like, I don't like that. We're just, it's candy. I'm like, okay, good. And that's when I knew I was going to marry her. But anyway.
How about anything from New Kids on the Block?
Yep.
That was
they had a bunch of hits.
Hits. Awful.
They're
terrible.
Awful.
Chinese
terrible,
food makes
terrible.
Me sick, though.
Terrible. Give a shit how many hits. Terrible.
They're on tour again.
Yeah, that's fine. They're cashing on the nostalgia train. But again, what the hell, Rolling Stone? Just like Brian's opinion of the Motion Picture Academy, right? When it comes to anything relevant about movies and film anymore, Rolling Stone has officially bitten the dust of being relevant for anything for music anymore.
I think we should do our own Oscars, and it'll probably be more accurate.
We're coming right up against the hour here, and I want there was one thing that I thought was cool. I started following this guy on TikTok, the Gray Matters blog, and this guy has like he asks a question. He's like Christian, but podcast. like, what if you could? And so his the one I'm sending you, you would become a vampire. But
oh, this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you become a vampire, but you had to completely kill one human being a week for sustenance, right? So the qualifications are you're going to be a vampire in the classic sense, immortal, incredibly hard to kill, you know, all the general vampire stuff, speed and enhanced senses and strength and all of those things. And on top of that, you can be out in the sun for small amounts of time. You can't just be out there sunbathing. But you get to choose the power of one famous vampire. You get to say, I'm taking this vampire's powers. They're going to be my own. Now, none of these other vampires had to completely drain a human being on a weekly basis. So my questions to you two are these three questions. A, would you do it? B, which vampire, famous, historically famous, fictional vampire character guy, powers would you take? And then C, how do you decide what humans you're going to farm?
I have an answer for this.
Yes, please.
There's a lot of stipulations as to whether or not I would do it. The answer is there is. Like,
of course there is, because it's Brian.
If my family is, you know,
you can make them vampires if you want to be vampires.
Cool. Right. Cool. Then we can be a family of vampires. All right, cool. If that's the case, then yes. If I were to do it, here's how I would do it. I would want the powers of Blade, because then I'd be a daywalker and have all the other strength and everything.
You're already a daywalker.
You said I'd only be allowed out.
Limited time. How much time do you want to spend outside?
All fucking day if I want to.
How much time do you spend outside right now?
I have the freedom.
Right now. You have the freedom to go outside right now, Brian. How often do you go outside?
I want the choice to be able to go outside. That's all I'm saying.
I would probably relocate to California at some point. I would want to be out in the sun.
Christian said the same thing. Okay. How do you decide what humans to farm?
Oh, I would most certainly make some sort of back alley deal with a prison system somewhere, and just anybody on, you know, death row who's already government going to be.
Yep. Okay.
Taken out.
Makes total sense to me. CJ,
my conscience is clear.
A, would you do it?
Yes, I would do it. The powers of a vampire. I'm trying to remember in the Van Helsing movie what that Dracula had versus like the Dracula Untold. Like, regardless, it would be Dracula, right? I just got to figure out which iteration of Dracula it would be, but Dracula. My family is all vampires. Congratulations. I would go with like death row people, but like also like Dexter style. When you see that article about the guy who got away with murder, and you're like, oh, fantastic. I've got my guy for the week, right? Cause that stuff's every week. So you get that.
I just feel like that's a little bit, like, as much as I would want to be vigilante, I feel like it's a little bit too much work. I'd have to find them, you know? I'd have to...
You're a vampire.
Those people...
You're a vampire.
You'll be able to find that out. I also think
super
I could probably...
Super easy for you.
I could probably clean through some public offices very quickly and get some people
out of there. Since you're Blade, you've got the old man doing all the research for you. You got a man in the chair.
Does the guy in the chair come with the powers? Because then
if I'm Dracula, I've got minions. They would do the farm. Hell, right. I could even just sit back and relax. I don't even have to do the hunting if I don't want to. If I feel like fast food, I could go Dexter style and chase somebody, right?
That's right. So I saw this and I posed the question to Christian and I said, okay, A, immediately and without hesitation. No caveats. No.
It took me a minute to think. All right, cool. You're just in.
What? Nope. 100% immediately and without hesitation. Yes. Give me that. B, Dracula, telepathy, you know, all the crazy shit that comes with Dracula. Give me all those things. And C, I guess I like where your guys' heads at. That wasn't my thought. My initial thought was car salesman. Cause nobody's going to miss them. And then
I'm telling you, Jeffrey Bezos and a couple billionaires would go missing very quickly.
You know, yeah. After that, it would be, I wouldn't just go after rich people, cause I'm not gaining anything from killing them. Right. But, I could absolutely, there would be ways you could decide which humans to farm that might affect markets in ways that you could then benefit from. And that's
could you not grab a billionaire or grab a hedge fund manager, turn them into one of your minions and then financially gain from that? Could you not?
Well, no, not necessarily. No, because I mean, the problem is, CJ, and you should probably already have figured this out, the more vampires you are, the more people start going, hey, wasn't that guy a vampire? And then they're coming at you with stakes.
And also the more people that are there to stage a coup.
I don't know. I've watched iZombie, and just because you find
I'm keeping it incredibly tight. It's
yeah, I was going to say tight gotcha. Circle, okay. right?
Pretty tight can, circle.
Hold on, let me ask you a question. Each of you become your vampire. Are you bringing me into the club? Are you bringing us? Are you bringing the other nerds into the club? Or are you just going to ride the immortality wave yourself? The Burns clan gets the gift of vampirism. Were the Thorntons and the Melons be included within your little clan? There's a lot of hesitation here.
It would have to be like a situation where... it came up kind of organically in conversation. Like, if I could be a vampire, I'd want to be that.
And Josh, you're looking really a little peaky. Are you all right? Are you good? You're looking a little peaky.
Josh, you don't ever go out during the day anymore. You only want to hang out at night. Like, everything okay? You doing all right?
Josh, you just asked me to add Interview with a Vampire, Dracula Untold, and all the seasons of Dexter onto the Plex. Are you planning something?
Yeah, everything's totally fine.
Going back to the billionaires question, though, wouldn't you somehow be able to, if you're Dracula, right? You have
the charm ability. Powers. Yeah.
Charm them to make you the executor of, you know, their will or what have you, and take everything.
Never,
over.
Ever, not? Ever. There's because shareholders.
Yeah, I don't want paper trails.
No.
That can be taken care of too, right?
No, it'd be way,
see, now,
way
now, I,
easier.
Now I see the flaw in this because, yeah, that's way too many people. And the government gets involved at that
It'd
point.
Be way, way easier to strategically eliminate people whose death or disappearance would affect world markets.
Oh,
and
sure.
You could benefit then not just from, say, stocks, but also from the currency exchange, which, you know, I'm a vampire. I'm all over the world. I probably do whatever I want. Right. And look, at that point, you've got to think that, you know, you're going to fly a little bit below the radar. Right. You'll spend your first few years like, you know, robbing banks and stuff because you're not going to appear on camera. You're super fast. Right, you got mind control ability, or at least I do. You're just a fucking daywalker. Who gives a shit?
I have insane martial arts abilities.
Yeah, I'm faster than you. you're doing crazy martial arts.
I have plenty of issues where Blade kicks Dracula's ass. I'm in
a whole other zip code with you before you execute your spin kick. So I guess, like, you know, after a few years. Right. And you've established yourself as a well-to-do individual right now. You've got a reason to be jet setting and it's okay to move in those circles and you're everybody's friend. Right. I mean, you're not disappearing people who are in your inner circle. You're disappearing people that your inner circle could benefit from their disappearance. And, you know, if somebody from your inner circle gets a little wise, you know, okay, then they got to go. But again, you're going to forget about them in a few years anyway.
What you need is status without fame, right? Like the guy who invented the aglet and gets the royalties for that.
Yes.
No one knows who the fuck he is.
Automatic.
But
this stuff comes automatic, right?
Okay. I was gonna say I rewatch Highlander. I'm like, how the fuck did you get a social security card like over and over again?
Harvey Kennedy invented the aglet.
Good. You could put me directly in front of
that
man. In the
1790s.
And I would have no idea who he is.
It's CJ. It's something that happens like these. Look, it's something that happens. Old money
that's what you need to have.
Well, again, after a few decades, you have generational wealth and it is status without fame. And look, you're going to be around forever. So who gives a shit if this decade was bad?
Let's be very honest. Of the three of us in these scenarios, I am the first one fucking this up and getting dissected by the government. I'm just very clear.
Oh, 100%, which is why, quite frankly, Josh hesitated when you say, oh, are you bringing me in? No, you will find a way to fuck it up.
Yeah, welcome to the first vampire podcast. What the fuck did he just say?
Get out. Not if it's not... Not if it's gonna link back to me. No.
See, CJ's gonna do a podcast called Dracula After Dark and like talk about his life as a vampire and out everybody.
Let me tell you about the best tech gadgets for drinking blood, okay? You gotta filter that stuff sometimes, okay?
All right, straw. So I'm putting a bow on this. CJ, for the clickety clackety keyboard guy, you get 2 points. You lose those 2 points for your awful, awful opinions about 80s music.
The Lord giveth and taketh away.
Just terrible. Really not.
To be fair, I was not alive during that decade, so you know.
Yeah. Brian, you had no opinion on the clickety clackety of the keyboards, and for that you lose a point.
Makes sense.
But I'm going to give you 3 points for your thoughtful and considered approach to vampirism.
Thank you.
I'm going to take away one of those points for thinking that Blade somehow has better powers than fucking Dracula. you, Brian, are the winner with 2 points. Congratulations.
Very low scoring win, but I will take it. I like it a lot. Well, thank you. I look forward to hosting next week, I suppose.
Wait, if there's a hockey, can we fight? Can I get points for a fist fight?
Wait, we're fist fighting now?
Can I fist fight Brian for a
fight? The least interesting
stop,
fight anyone has ever seen.
Ow! All right, stop!
I will thank everyone for joining us for this hour. Thank you for making us your walk around the neighborhood or your drive to work. We will see you on the next show.
Well, welcome to the club, because you were that kind of nerd.